Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Welcome to St. Charles River Church. Pastor Barry's ready to come and lead us on.
Yes. Everybody, just stay right where you're at for a second. Go ahead and stand up for a second. Stand up for a second. Everybody repeat after me. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I said, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Did you bring it with you? Did you bring it with you? Because that's real. That's our responsibility, to bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. It is our job. I can't praise for you. I didn't bring your sacrifice. I promise you, there's not enough. I can't carry that kind of cow. We all have our own sacrifice, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and I bring the sacrifice, I bring the Spirit of the living God that lives within me into the house of the Lord to do what? To give to Him. Did you bring it with you? Did you bring, amen. We're a Spirit-filled church. I said, did you bring Him with you?
Yeah.
Then give the Lord your very best. Give the Lord your very best. Everybody say it again. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Let me challenge you. Do you know that you are the house of the Lord? Do you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? His Spirit lives within you. He abides within you. And that is where the sacrifice must remain. You don't just bring it into this house of prayer. We bring it in to the Spirit of the living God, into the temple that He gives us for Him to abide. Then we come together as believers and we bring this sacrifice of praise and we give it to the Lamb. Go ahead and give Him one more praise. Come on. You may be seated. I'm not going to do across the aisle this morning because I need every moment I can get. And I think you know what I'm talking about. This month, this year, if you ever were with us in the month of December at all, you heard me say, I am calling the church to a month of prayer and fasting. The month of January, I want everybody to write this down. If you're a note taker in your phones, I want you to put it in your phones. If you're not, I want you to elbow your husband and tell him to write it down. If he doesn't do that kind of thing, then you elbow your wife and you tell her to put this down. That January is the month of transformation. January is the month of transformation. We are calling on God to transform St. Charles River Church. And it starts with me. I'm going to cover it over about 4 weeks period of time, but I promise you it's about a year long's worth of messages, isn't it, Pastor Mike? And Pastor Pam and Pastor Carl and Pastor Bill and Pastor Mike. It's a year's worth of messages that we're going to be bringing to you about this year, this month that begins this time of transformation for St. Charles River Church. Because I believe we cannot be the same this year as we have been for the last 16 years. Got six of you that agreed with that. I said, I don't believe, as the pastor of this church, the leader of this church, that we can be the same church that we have been for the last 16 years. I don't believe 17 can be that. Because He's coming back. Oh, I know you all got a Republican in the White House. But I promise you, the rapture has not been canceled. The second coming is not being prolonged. People are still dying and they are separated from God. And we are as urgent today. I am convinced that night I could just sense this sense of evangelicals and Pentecostals and Spirit-filled and non-denoms and denoms all going, oh, it's going to be good. I got news. That's not what this says. in end times. It doesn't say that. Don't get wrapped into the culture idea that because you're Republican or you're Democrat person got in there, or the person you didn't want didn't get in there, all of a sudden, listen, there's a call on our lives to be the light of the world and to proclaim Jesus Christ as the only way. Pastor Mike talked about hope. His name is Jesus. He is the hope of our salvation. That's what the word says. His name is Jesus. It's not an emotion we're talking about. It's a person we're talking about. And his name is Jesus. January is the month of transformation. We're beginning it. I hope the whole year is a year of transformation at SCRC. We're going to cover it though in 4 weeks, and I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. The first week, we're going to launch a week of prayer and fasting over a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to me. I'm not talking about to Barry only. I'm talking about to each of us. We're going to go before God and say, God, I want you. Would you please? I want to plead with you, God. I want the time of fasting and prayer. You will have to work out what that is. Be good in judgment about it. Make sure it meets your medical responsibility for you as a person, wherever you're at in your health. Make sure it's a responsible decision that you make as you fast, whatever you fast. But this week is a week to ask God, and we're going to look at just a few things. I'm going to challenge us all here in the next few minutes about what a personal revelation looks like and what a personal transformation really looks like. But we need to ask God over the next 7 days. In fact, it doesn't stop. It'll literally pile on top of each other. The first week will be, God, bring me a personal, a new anointing, a new revelation, a more intimate revelation of you. I really don't have a package of what that looks like. I don't have a goal that all of a sudden you're speaking in tongues three times a day. I don't have any goal that all of a sudden you're laying hands up. My goal is, what is it that God you want to do in me? I have no personal goal for you, but my goal, Lord, is for me. God, reveal yourself to me, not just as a pastor, but as a believer. As your son, show me a new portion of you, because I promise you, how many of you have you ever noticed God shows a new side of him all the time? The longer you live, he reveals a new side of himself, doesn't he, Irene? He'll just show, all of a sudden you see, well, I never saw that. Lord, I never caught that about you. So that's what we're looking for the first week. The second week, now listen to me, be careful with this one, because so many misunderstand when a pastor or an evangelist or a speaker talks this way. We're going to ask God for a greater outpouring of His Spirit in our services. I don't even have a formula of what that looks like. I seriously don't. I don't have a formula about what that looks like. I'm not into catchers. I'm not into the performance. I'm going to deal with that in a minute. I'm not talking about people that are falling over. That's not my goal. My goal is that the power of God would transform lives. The second week, we're going to pray for a greater outpouring of God. If you're talking method, we're not talking the same thing. I'm talking about a genuine move of God. If someone goes over, they'll go over. If nobody goes over, they don't go over. My goal is, though, that somebody walks out of this room so amazed at what God did in our presence. Got three that agreed with that. Okay. Do you understand? We're talking a new revelation first week of me, God. Show me you. Show yourself in me. Do you remember when Moses was so passionate? Where he said, God, show yourself to me. And God tucks him into the cleft of the rock and he shows him his backside, because he can't show him everything, because it would kill him. But he showed him more of him. And that's desperation. That's the first week. The second week is, Lord, a greater outpouring of your Spirit. God, a more intense move of, people coming to know Christ. By the way, nobody can come to know Jesus if we don't bring new people in here. Oh, let me back up on that one. I said, by the way, nobody new can come to Jesus Christ in this auditorium unless first we're actually bringing someone in that needs to hear the gospel and that hope and the good news. We're getting to, that'll be your week. Yeah, that's week number four. The third week, we're going to be praying. We're going to continue praying for the same two. But in the third week, we're going to launch prayer time and fasting and scriptures that will be sent out for you to pray for the leadership of this church to have a vision of a 3 to 5 year plan for what God is going to be doing over the next 3 to 5 years, who we're supposed to be, who we're supposed to reach, how in the community we're supposed to be known as a fellowship. Do you know something? They're not going to know how great a service we have. We have got to go to them. That's why the word says Jesus gave the command, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, go onto the highways and byways and bring them in so that my house may be full. Now we're getting on to week number 4. But the third week is about praying for wisdom for the leadership, the executive leadership of this church, that I'm calling to meetings and to gatherings and to personal fasting and gathering of a visionary meeting and talking about what is it you're hearing? Because after 16 years, I'm not the only one that hears from God in this place. What are you hearing, Pastor Mike? Pastor Pam, what are you and Rick hearing? What are the pastors? What are the elders hearing? What are you guys hearing from the Lord about who we're supposed to be and even where we're supposed to be? Listen, I'm not glued here. I'm glued to my Lord. I'm committed to Him. The fourth week is the week that we're going to focus on prayer and fasting, on evangelism, on real outreach. What does that look like again? Can I tell you something? Baptists got it right a long time ago. Some of the greatest outreaches I've ever seen was under a man named Billy Graham. The most simple messages I've ever heard in my life. This Baptist brother standing there, my grandfather was actually a Baptist pastor until he went into the Assemblies of God. I'm going to tell you something. We lost our passion in the church in America for outreach. And I take personal responsibility for that here. I don't point any finger at anyone. That rests solely upon the lead pastor of this church. No more. No more. No more. Because if we don't exist to reach people, we're going to do something differently. We exist because Jesus sent us into the world full of His Spirit to be Him, Jesus with skin onto the world. Isn't that exciting? We get to actually reach people and give them hope. And actually, you remember that video that I think Cindy pulled it out not long ago. And the girl is sitting there on the bench saying, when are you going to ask me? When are you going to ask me? I'll laugh at you. I'll mock you. I'll call you hypocrite. Do you remember the video? But they want us. They need us to ask them. So those 4 weeks, over the next 4 weeks, that's a nutshell of it, and we're going to get into it this morning. I want to talk with you this morning. Open your Bibles. I am actually going to read from the Message Bible. I never do that, but I'm going to teach. Are these lights, like, not on? Say it again. Oh, there you go. That works. Okay. I was just curious because I couldn't see. There, I can see words now. I wanted to come down here and be with you. I want to talk with you this morning about this message title is, The World is Not a Stage. The world is not a stage. Now this is the Message Bible, and I want to talk with you in this portion of scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 6, and if you, whatever Bible version you have is great, but I want you to hear what the Message Bible has to say. Because I'm not talking about when I'm saying, God, pour into us a new, deeper revelation and anointing of who you are, I'm not talking about so I'll act differently. Okay, everybody get that. It's not so that I'll just act differently. Show me how to act better as a Christian. Listen to this. Listen to this. In fact, I love the heading is that the NIV? Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and pull that down, and I'm going to go ahead and put this in the message, okay? I thought I sent it over in the message. Forgive me if I didn't, guys, but I'm going to read from the message this morning. Here we go. I want you to hear this, so maybe not reading it up there will help you. If you got phones and you want to turn on your cell phone, just let me know that you're going to the Message Bible, and I'll give you a second. Verse 1, going to do the... verse 1, chapter 6 of Matthew, the Message Bible. I want anybody that like to follow along on your phone, do that, because this is good stuff. I mean, this is awakening kind of stuff. And Matthew writes, he says, be especially careful, and look at the heading above it. The world is not a stage. You see, I'd love to tell you I thought of that. I didn't. But it did grab me when I read that, and I thought, I've got to go with it. That's exactly right. That's what God is wanting to say. We're not talking about performing better as a Christian. We're talking about knowing Him deeper and more intimately and with a greater anointing with the effect in our lives. It's not being, I love this phrase, you know, He's a good Christian. What does that mean? What? That could mean anything. He's a good Christian. You mean there's bad Christians? Well, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That makes me a bad, but forgiven. So I'm all confused by the being a good Christian. That's not what Paul says, or what Matthew says here. Listen to this. Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. Get that. Oh, I'm sitting there going, I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm reading going, oh, I got to stand up. Oh my goodness. He won't be applauding. He's not impressed. Everybody get this. If you don't know, do you know that the word hypocrite is a Greek word directly related to the theater and specifically to actor? It doesn't mean that you don't practice what you preach. That we've turned it into that. We've turned it into that in English. But the word hypocrite is directly tied to this profession of acting in the theater. It's acting. It's knowing the part. It's being able to deliver it well. Glory, hallelujah. I've seen that. And I don't doubt that there were sincere hearts. I don't doubt that at all. There were truly sincere hearts. But it came to the point where how you prayed, at least in the churches that I was in and the organization that I was in, if you prayed in a certain way, there was an art to the prayer. You all know what I'm talking about? You're just afraid to admit it? Don't get offended and walk out of here yet. It's the word. It's the word. He says, Matthew goes on to say, God won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call your attention to it. You've seen them in action, I'm sure, the play actors, I call them, treating prayer meetings and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. I watched a guy in Kansas City. I told you about him several months ago. A guy at Christmas last year, standing on a milk cart with a speaker underneath him and a microphone on his head like I'm wearing right now, saying, y'all are going to hell because you don't know Jesus. You are sinners. And I'm sitting there going, Gina, let's go to the other side of the street. Because I'm going to say something to that guy if I don't even want to be associated with a conversation with that guy. And I don't doubt it. That dude was a young, zealous, full of zeal kind of a... Guys, where's the credibility in that? Why not go to coffee with someone that's discouraged and love Jesus into them? Don't call attention. That's what Matthew's writing here. He says, don't call attention to those who I call them play actors, treating prayer meetings and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get their applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly, unobtrusively. This is the way your God who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. Do it like the Father does. This is a more intimate view. God's not impressed with play-acting Christianity. God's not impressed that you can quote scripture and actually tear someone to pieces, limb to limb, in judgment when we're harsh with someone with scripture. Just because we can quote it, He's not impressed. Even Satan quoted scripture in the desert when Jesus was fasting. Jesus is the Word. And what did the enemy try and come at Him in the desert with? The Word, His Word. He's not impressed. He's the author of His Word. He knows His Word. He knows it. He's not impressed with religiousness. He's not impressed with those of us who pray a certain way of prayer. I've been in churches before, you know, when we sing in churches, and some of you knew I did that for years. We'd get out into places, and they always had, "Dear brother so-and-so, get up there," because he knew how to pray heaven down. Well, listen, that brother's heart was probably as sincere as you can get, but what they were impressed with was method. And I would contend, I seriously would contend that what Matthew is saying here is it's not about religious moments. It's about intimacy with this powerful transformational God who wants to show you a side of himself like he did with Moses. So intimate that he was protective of Moses because he didn't want to blind him and he didn't want to kill him. Get this. And he could have raised him up. Let me just go ahead and kill you because I could raise you. He didn't do that. But he knew that Moses longed to see a side of him. He just longed. And have you ever come to the place where you just longed to see a side of God you've never seen before? Tell him that. Tell him that. But you can't tell him that if we really don't feel that. God, show me a side of you. There have been times in my life where I was so desperate for him. When I was in Kansas City in 1994, and that Hispanic brother began to speak in Spanish, and an interpreter started, and all of a sudden I'm going, "Oh my Lord, God will be here all night." How's that for real? How's that for real? 3,000 pastors in this auditorium and their wives. And all of a sudden it's Evangel Temple. If you don't know, in Kansas City, it's an Assembly of God church. And it's a theater style seating. And I'm going, "Oh my God, he's got to say it. And then he's got to say it. Then he's got to say it." Then now that's what I do in Latin America when I'm down there. There's the irony of that. But all of a sudden, in 3 to 5 minutes in Espanol, what I had heard all my life in English, in Espanol, God used this brother, pastor, I think his name was Victor, I'm almost positive it was, Herman. If you know Herman and Tammy from Guatemala, they know the revival that he led. Over 900,000 people came to Jesus Christ in South America under these revivals. But 3 to 5 minutes, and the power of God fell on this room, and this white-haired old man, I've told you the story, across from me, gets out in the aisle, puts his Bible down, and he gets on his knees, and he lays out before God on this long step, and I hear him crying out. I bet he was 80, mid-80s, and he cries out, "God, I've missed it all these years. I've missed it all these years, and I'm literally 3 feet from this brother." And I thought, I cannot miss this. God, what do you want? In Spanish, this guy's still going. It didn't matter. There was a revelation of his presence, of his glory in the house, and the glory of his temple filled this place. And there's people that are literally laying on their bellies or just standing up and worshiping. The meeting was taken over by the Spirit of God. It looked lunacy. It looked like total lunacy, except for those of us who knew we were walking with God. We knew. I was down there with the white-haired brother, because if something's going to pour out, I want to be right by him, right next to him, because I was only about 35 at the time, and if he missed it at 80-something, I am not going to miss it when it's poured out this time. That's the attitude we need to have. I'm not going to miss it. I can't miss it. I've missed it all these years. I can't miss it anymore. I would ask you, how many of you can honestly say you were pursuing him with everything that is within us? I'm not talking about just as SCRC. I'm talking about me as a man, you as a woman, as husbands and wives. How many of us can say we're so desperate for him? I've come to that place in my own spirit where I know I will fail if I'm not desperate for him. Because he's not about performance. He's not about good preaching. I had a person say to me one time, "If you just rear back and let her go, you'd be a good preacher." I don't care anymore about being a good preacher. I don't care. I don't care. I honestly don't care. Let me be boring like Paul. He put a guy to sleep and he fell out of a window after 6 hours of preaching. He was so boring. He even knew his voice was whiny. He said so. It was hard to listen to Paul. He bored people. The dude falls out of the window to his death. Paul has to run around outside the building, lay hands on him and raise him from the dead, props him back up in the window, and he starts preaching again. Goes another couple of hours. Let me be boring if people come alive in Jesus Christ. Let me be so boring, it's pathetic, to where you say, you got to come and hear this word. It's so stinking boring, but the power of God is real. I don't care anymore. I honestly don't care anymore. What I care about is God showing up in the place. Is God showing up in us? That's all I care about. And not acting like he is. I'm not looking for people to all of a sudden start acting real religious. If you do that, I hope it's genuine, because I don't care. I don't care anymore. Do you remember, I don't know what the crazy movie was, where the guy opens the windows and he goes, it just doesn't, or what was that, Meatballs? That was Meatballs. Yeah, that was Meatballs. And Bill Murray, what was it? Just doesn't matter. Yeah, and Meatballs, the movie, Bill Murray is sitting there going, and he's dancing around going, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't, it's not exactly a scriptural point, but it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is God moving in me? And then, is God moving in you? Aren't you tired of the attack on your family? I am. I'm totally tired of that. But it doesn't matter. What matters is, am I after the heart of God for me and for my family? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can't miss it this time. He says, when you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production. All these things making a regular show out of your prayers, hoping for stardom. The kid that told me one time, I love the kid, he's a young man, told me one time, God called me, it was prophesied over me, I'd preach to thousands and ten thousands. He said, maybe I ought to get ready for it. I said, I got a perfect place for you to start. He said, where? I said, I got some toilets in the back that need to be cleaned. I ain't cleaning toilets. I said, then you're not ready to preach to the thousands and the ten thousands, because it's very symbolic about what you're going to be dealing with. If you don't have a heart of a servant, don't come talk to me about you're going to preach to the thousands and the ten thousands, because your heart's not ready to serve the one. Here's what I do, he said. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet place. Oh, wait a minute. I can't miss this other one. All these people making regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat watching you? Whoo! You know why I got up now and had to start walking around the living room? I'm like, oh my Lord God. You don't care how impressive our services are. You don't care how great any speaking is on any given Sunday morning. You don't care. You care about me. You're passionate about me. Whoo, man. Then he says, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. Can I tell you something? I used to call these prayer meetings in this room, and there was a group of families came over from a different church. Five families came over from a different church in this area, and they loved that I had these prayer meetings in here. And I had them, I think it was twice a month at that time, and it was an hour of prayer, and we just put on worship. And there was just it was through the week, and it was cold, but these five families would keep showing up, and I was so excited. They wanted to show up for prayer, and we'd spend some time in prayer. It didn't take but about 2 weeks till they started getting mad at people for not showing up. They were mad. I mean, we're supposed to be here intimately in the presence of God. Let me come back here a little bit. We're supposed to be here in the presence of God, right? Intimately just getting saturated by His Spirit. And what they are is they're mad because nobody else is showing up to do what? I'm fully convinced to see them pray, to hear their prayer, to hear them shouting before the Lord. And I'm sitting there going, why are you mad? You was over there shouting a few minutes ago. You're over there speaking in an unnatural tongue to the human body and the human mind, and now you're mad. come here. I got to talk to you about that. Well, they didn't want to know that. I said, no, 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 seriously. Out of the mouth, this is what Paul said, cannot come blessing and curses. You're so angry, you're cursing them. They don't want to know God. They don't want to know God. Really? I would dare say they may know him more than you, because they're not mad at you right now. They're not angry with you, and they're not certainly judging your spirituality based on whether you're changing the diaper of their grandchild that they're home babysitting right now, because their single parent daughter doesn't have someone else pulling the responsibility for them. Who's doing the greater ministry that night? And yet, they become prayer warriors, self-proclaimed, and love it when others proclaim them as prayer warriors. Look, I know prayer warriors. My grandmother was a prayer warrior, and man, she was the most compassionate, loving, godly woman that you could ever meet. The world is so full of them. Peddling techniques and methods, formulas, getting what you want from God so that you get what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with. He knows you better than what, he knows what you need better than you know what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray just simply. It's a simple prayer. Then he goes into, you'll know it as I read it to you. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves. Oh my God, I'm more dangerous sometimes to me than the enemy is. Do you ever know that? Do you ever realize that? My decisions, and we got young people in here, so I'm gonna, my unwise decisions are more dangerous than what anything the enemy could ever do to me. That's why he gave me Gina. It's not good that man should be alone, and there's a reason for that. Keep us alive. Give us 3 square meals. He says, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Sometimes we're compared to the devil. You're in charge. Oh my God. Everybody say, you're in charge. But God, I want this. But God, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do, God. But God, you're in charge. You can do anything you want. That's total surrender. That's a surrender prayer. Did you know that? You can do anything you want, Lord. That's total surrender. Goes on to say, says you can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. You're on fire with beauty. Lord God of hosts, creator of the universe, you are ablaze with beauty and splendor. In prayer, there's a connection between, this is verse 14, in prayer, there's a connection between what God does and what you do. Oh, don't misunderstand me. During this prayer and fasting month, you'll change. If you're sincerely praying and fasting, if you're sincerely running after the heart of God, you can't help but change. You will act differently. You will behave differently, but I hope you act poorly. You understand what I'm saying? I hope your behavior will change, but that your acting skills will decrease because you don't need them anymore. How's that? You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without forgiving others. Wow. Did you know that there are 2 unpardonable sins? Did you know that? First one is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The Bible makes that very clear. Matthew makes it very clear here. If you don't forgive others, that's unforgivable. If you want forgiveness, Matthew says you must forgive others. Forgiveness is a freeing thing of yourself. It has nothing to do with the other person. It really is. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. I didn't write it. Matthew did. Take it up with Matthew when you get there. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline, everybody say fasting. Oh, you thought I didn't know where I was going with this? You thought I was just reading scripture to read scripture? Boy, he's on a roll this morning, man. I'm not on a roll. God is on a roll. Listen to this. When you practice fasting, discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. Your wife already knows that. Gina already knows that. In my house, we have real conversations. Gina and I were talking about what we were really going to do in our fast and our prayer time yesterday. Real conversations, honest conversations. And there were times we were sitting there going, no, I don't believe that that's right for us. No, we were having honest conversations about what are you hearing from the Lord? Well, this is what I'm hearing from the Lord. We work this through because this is our home. We need to be on the same page about what this looks like. Don't, ladies, don't go home and put your husband into a 10-point Bible study. Husbands, don't go home and put your wife into a 20-point Bible study. Then in the end somehow talks about how women need to be more like this and this and this and this. Oh my goodness. You'll blow the month up. I wish this room was full today so that others could hear what we're talking about. We're talking about a genuine revelation, a fresh anointing, a fresh revelation of intimacy with God. A side of Him I've never seen before, and I can't afford to miss it. I cannot afford to miss it. I refuse, in fact, to miss it. This will be the end, and then next week I'm going to pick up right where I left off. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly, shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, please do. My God, please do. Wash your face, wash it all. Wash it all. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you are doing. He will reward you well. Because there is something genuine going on in our seeking desperately the presence of God when we are running after Him and seeking Him passionately. It's not so we can straighten our wife out. It's not so we can straighten our husband out. It's so I can know you, God, more intimately than I have ever known you before. And whatever the fallout, hallelujah. If you think you're going to have to give up your friends, I got news. You don't have to give up one friend. They will give you up. You watch. They'll give you up because they think you're loony. You don't want to do that anymore. You don't want to have that attitude. What do you mean you don't want to get on Facebook and talk bad about people anymore? I'm looking at the wall over here. What do you mean? You were always in it with me before. Come on. You know what I... Really? All of a sudden, do you know when we know God, we begin to reflect Him? I can't tell you how many times through the years I've walked through a mall, and I take my dad, or he took me, but mostly these days, and people will do this. They'll do this. Boy, you two can't deny each other. They'll do one of these. Boy, you got your hair from him, didn't you? Yeah. He'll point at me. They'll say, boy, you got your hair from him, didn't you? Boy, you can tell that's your father. You can tell. You cannot deny you're his son. Wouldn't that be great that people come up to you and say, I see something so amazing in you. It's the Jesus that I believe the Bible talks about. I don't see it in many people, but you can't deny you know Jesus. Remember the two disciples that went before the Sanhedrin and they were accused of being in the company of Jesus. They said, listen, we can tell you've been keeping the company of Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing that is the testimony of what people say about you? Rob, you look just like your daddy. You behave just like him. How do I know that? Because I see compassion. I see kindness in your countenance. I'm actually talking about Rob. I really am talking about the things I see in Rob when I get around Rob. I'm not just throwing things out there. I see kindness. I see mercy. I see compassion for people. I see honest to God tears when he sees children that are hurting. I've been with him on enough missions trips. When these kids are hurting and they just need a man's attention, I've watched him tear up because who am I talking about here? I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the one who said when the disciples, the religious around Jesus, they couldn't help but get religious. You know, they were the Memphis Mafia. Don't worry about the time. It'll be just fine. They were the Memphis Mafia, and their goal was to protect the Trump man, you know? You don't get that? Oh, you do. Okay. So, or Elvis. They were protecting him, and the children were running after him, and all of a sudden, the disciples are stopping the children, and Jesus rebukes the disciples, and he says, King James, suffer the little children to come unto me. Modern day English, get your hands off those kids. Don't you dare do anything that hinders them from getting to me. Because such is the kingdom of God. In fact, you got to be just like them if you want to come into my kingdom. It's a genuine desperation in the next week. What I want you to do, if you would, whether you do it individually or as a family or you do it both ways, the portion of scripture that I just read to you, I want you to read it if you would. I'm asking you to read it. This is our everyday assignment if you would do this. And ask God, read that same portion of scripture in Matthew. You can read it in King James. You can read it in Message. You can read it in NIV or in LTS. Whatever you want, version you want to use. But I would suggest that you get multiple out there and just start researching what, Lord, I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. I'm not talking about a liar. I'm talking about, Lord, I don't want to act this out anymore. I don't want, if I did things as a theater, Lord, teach me not to be theater any longer. Teach me, Lord, to actually do the genuine, intimate relationship with you instead of the religious behavior. Oh, can I tell you something? There are times, can I just admit to you? There are times I watch people And their prayer production over food in a public restaurant is amazing to me. They're waiting. And they're, now listen, if it's genuine, God bless them. But there's just times where it's just simply okay to say, Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Simply, I've seen big productions in restaurants. I've seen it. And there are times I'll actually call on Pastor Mike to pray because he's at one end of the table. We had a long table not long ago, and I'll ask somebody else at the other end to pray because I don't want to interrupt everybody else that's around us with what they already think of as all these weird religious people. No, I'm not ashamed. I had a guy tell me one time because I said to him, this was a brother at a portrait studio. Our grandchildren were getting their pictures taken. And finally he said to me, are you a preacher? I scooted over next to him. I said, I don't tell too many people that, but yes, I pastor a church. I knew you as a preacher. And so he was a pastor. He said, I knew you as a preacher. He said, but brother, I'm not ashamed to tell anybody that I'm a preacher. I said, no, you don't understand. It's not a shame thing. It's just I've seen the entire conversation change when all of a sudden they know I'm a pastor. They get religious on me. Don Kassebaum and I, one time, we used to eat at a restaurant in this area, Egg and I, and with this one server, she'd come over, and she had language that was Marine kind of, you know, Navy kind of, you know, the embarrass a sailor kind of thing, but she was genuine. And Don and I used to have a great time talking with her, genuine conversations with her. And all of a sudden, somebody joined us one day and they called out in front of this lady that Don was in ministry and that I was a pastor. And do you know, to this day, the lady lost her realness with me. Now she's floating in the spiritual conversation. I'm not ashamed. But good judgment at times means we don't have to do a theatrical production out in public to let people know that somehow we didn't actually eat before we prayed. Because, you know, we don't want somebody judging us. Eat then. Just go ahead and eat. Don't make a production out of it. And when you stand up, thank you, Lord, that was great. It was already blessed because you're the one who gave it to me. Who do you think provided it? It's not a religious moment. He won't bless it. It'll poison me if I don't pray. I think that's how we think. We get these religious thoughts. Am I rocking too many religious worlds? Just help me here. Just help me here a little bit. Let me know we're okay. Shake, shake, shake. Okay. Do you understand? It's not a production and it's not a requirement. The law was fulfilled at the cross. The law was fulfilled with Christ on the cross and the resurrection. That was all fulfilled. I live in grace. I live in mercy. I live in an abundant grace and mercy. You know what? I'm so not worried about... I'm serious. I don't care anymore. I don't care about the things that look religious anymore. I care about looking more like Jesus. I'm not talking about acting. I care that my character is more like Jesus. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. Heavenly Father, an intimate revelation of Jesus. That's what we need. A revelation of Jesus. Intimate new revelation of Jesus. I ask in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And every believer said, amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a huge hand, guys. Give him a huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.